Paul and the others on the great ship of Alexandria have been in the midst of that terrible storm, Euroclydon. We've read there in verse 20, and when neither sun nor stars in many days appeared, and no small tempest lay on us, all hope that we should be saved was then taken away. So according to Luke, who wrote the book of Acts, they were in an absolutely hopeless position. But then we read in verse 22, Paul says, and now I exhort you to be of good cheer, for there shall be no loss of any man's life among you but of the ship. We may lose the ship, but no man will lose his life. For, this is why Paul was able to say this with great assurance, for, or because there stood by me this night the angel of God, whom I am, or whose I am, and whom I serve, standing somewhere in the shadows of that great storm, was the angel of God. For so long, for many days, indeed that storm lasted 14 days in all, there was a moan in the wind, and the waves and the sea rose up like sea monsters and threatened to sink that ship and all who were on board. A tempestuous wind called Euroclydon was threatening to take that ship apart and send all who sailed in her to a watery grave. Those on board had united to do all that they could to save themselves and indeed to save the ship. Verse 17. There we read, which when they had taken up, they used helps, undergirding the ship and fearing lest they should fall into the quicksand, strake sail, and so were driven. And we being exceedingly tossed with the tempest, the next day they lightened the ship. The third day we cast out with our own hands the tackling of the ship. They did all that they could themselves. They did everything they could to save the ship and, more importantly, to save their lives. And here I am reminded, strangely enough, of Satan's words. Satan's words to the Lord. In Job chapter 2 and verse 4, Satan said to the Lord when they wanted to deal with Job, said to the Lord, skin for skin. Yea, all that a man hath will he give for his life. And here we have these mariners, and all that they had on board, they sacrificed it all. They threw it all overboard. They will do anything in order that they might save their lives. But sometimes giving all, sacrificing all, is not enough. There was now nothing more they could do. And when neither sun nor stars in many days appeared, and no small tempest lay on us, all hope. It's a very discouraging phrase or statement, all hope of us ever being saved was gone. They'd lost hope and ever being saved. Now we're told, of course, we know that the mariners in those days needed the stars for navigational purposes. But then we read, when neither sun nor stars in many days appeared, it seemed that all hope that they would ever be saved was taken away. In other words, they didn't know where they were. They were out on the high seas and unable to navigate. The master of the ship, the captain, the owner of the ship, and all on board had no idea where they were. They were lost at sea. They were sure they were going to lose their lives. As far as they were concerned, they were in a hopeless situation because all hope of them ever being saved was gone. But there was one. There was one who knew exactly their location. When you think of the mariners, the captain and the owner of the ship, these men with great experience in sailing the high seas, and they came to a point where they didn't know where they were. But there was one who did know. One who knew exactly their location. And dear people, tonight, when one of life's severe storms engulfs us, and we don't know where we are, and in our confusion and in the darkness, we don't know what way to turn. That's when one will be found standing somewhere in the shadows of that storm. Standing somewhere in the shadows, you'll find Jesus. He's the friend who always cares and understands. Standing somewhere in the shadows, you'll find him, and you'll know him by the nail prints in his hands. Are there shadows of deep disappointment and trust that have proven untrue? Has the darkness of the night settled round you? Has your hope and your faith wavered too? Has the storm overshadowed your sunshine? And life lost attraction for you? Has the dreams you cherished been broken? Is your soul filled with bitterness too? Well, standing somewhere in the shadows, you'll find Jesus. He's the one who cares and understands. Standing somewhere in the shadows, you'll find him and you'll know him by the nail prints in his hands. And in the shadows of that dark night, Paul was found by one who was standing in the shadows right beside him. He's the same one who will be found standing somewhere in the shadows when we go through the storms of life. And what Paul was able to say, we will be able to say also. For there stood by me this night the angel of God, whose I am and whom I serve. That's the time we need someone to stand by us, isn't it? Need somebody to stand by us at night. It's the most fearful time. Everything always seems worse at night. That's when we need someone to stand by us. And dear Christian, you can rest assured that in the night of your troubles in life, the Lord Jesus will always be standing beside you. Notice first of all here Paul and the appearance of the Lord. When the apostle said to all those on board that ship, "There stood by me this night the angel of the Lord," it is not difficult to identify the angel of the Lord. We know the Bible speaks about and refers to many angels. Some angels are given names. But here is one who is called the angel of the Lord. Paul identifies him for us because he said, there stood by me this night the angel of the Lord, whose I am and whom I serve. So this was no ordinary angel, if we can speak in that terms of angels. This was no ordinary angel. This was an angel whom Paul belonged to, whose I am. He belonged to this angel. And there's only one person who Paul belonged to. Because this one to whom Paul belonged was the one who bought Paul, who purchased him, who bought him with his own blood and made Paul his own. That's why Paul was able to say, there stood by me this night the angel of the Lord, whose I am. I belong to him. And who did Paul belong to? He belonged to Christ. He didn't belong to anyone else. He belonged to Jesus Christ because Jesus Christ had purchased him with his own blood. Just like you and I belong to Christ. Because he has bought us. Purchased us with his own blood. So the angel of God is Christ, whose I am and whom I serve. Paul didn't serve angels, he served Christ. Isn't that what he said? For to me to live is Christ, to die is gain. He belonged to Christ, he served Christ. And so the angel of God here is identified for us by Paul as being the Lord Jesus himself. And the angel of God being the Lord Jesus, Christ was the one who stood by Paul that night in the midst of the storm. He did it before, and he would do it again. In Acts 23, in verse 11, there we read the night following, the Lord stood by him. There he is again. The night following, the Lord stood by him. The Lord is by Paul again and said, be of good cheer. You see, whenever you know the Lord Jesus is standing by you, that cheers the heart. Different thing when you're standing alone. But when you have the Lord standing by you, that's what cheers the heart. And then we're familiar with those words in 2 Timothy. In chapter 4. When Paul there spoke about that time that no man stood with him. And Paul said at my first answer, 2 Timothy 4 verse 16, at my first answer, no man stood with me. No man. No one stood with me. But all men forsook me. That's an awful position to be in. That's an awful thing to have to say. No man stood with me, but all men forsook me. Paul's alone. Of all the men he'd ministered to, there wasn't one who stood with him, shamed of his bonds or his chains. No man stood with me, but all men forsook me. But then the next verse says, notwithstanding, the Lord stood with me and strengthened me. Sure, you couldn't beat that. Oh, when all men forsake us and abandon us, and nobody will stand with us as long as we have the Lord standing with us. Gee, you couldn't want anything better than that. And there in the midst of that storm, Paul finds the Lord standing with him. Notice the Lord's presence. Paul said, there stood by me this night the angel of the Lord. In other words, the Lord made his presence known unto Paul. It's as if the Lord was saying, just by his presence, it's all right, Paul, I'm here beside you. I feel it is very significant that we have the words of our text following hard on the heels of those words that were written by Luke in the verse 20 when he said, all hope that we should be saved was then taken away. And it was at that point, when all hope of them being saved was taken away, when all hope was gone, that's when the Lord appeared. When they felt they were in such a hopeless state, there was no hope whatsoever of them being saved, or no hope of them ever reaching land, they were going to perish. And that's the moment the Lord appeared. Isn't that just so typical of the Savior? Isn't it just so typical of Him? During our trials and our troubles, when all hope of our problems ever being solved, that's when the Lord appears. When we feel all hope of our need ever being met, that's when the Lord appears. When all hope of our burdens being lessened, sure, that's when the Lord appears. When we feel that all hope is gone, that's when Christ appears. We made mention this morning of the Lord's appearance in John 21 unto the disciples. They fished all night and caught nothing. Nothing. No doubt they were disappointed and downcast. And the Lord asked them, "Have ye children, have ye any meat?" And they said, "No." That nothing to set before the Lord. But after toiling all night and fishing all night, they caught nothing. That's when the Lord appeared. He was the stranger on the shore because the disciples didn't recognize him. And then you recall also on Resurrection Day, the two disciples on the road to Emmaus. You know the story well in Luke 24. And as they walk, they converse one with the other regarding the events that had just taken place. The crucifixion of Christ. It was the third day. And these disciples expected the Lord to rise from the dead. And the Lord Jesus drew near and went with him, but their eyes were withholden. They didn't recognize him. And they asked them, "What things?" And they said to him, "Are you a stranger around here? Have you not heard?" And they spoke and they talked and they unburdened their hearts. You know, just thinking the other day whenever I was studying for this message tonight, there in that Luke 24, whenever the Lord asked them why they were sad and cast down, "What manner of communications are these that ye have one to another and walk and are sad?" And they told him. And verse 19, "And he said unto them, what things?" That's a question. What things? What was the Lord doing? The Lord was prompting those two disciples to unburden their hearts. He was encouraging them to tell him all that was on their heart and what was causing them to be so sad and so cast down. Isn't it interesting that the Lord has to encourage us to unburden our hearts? He has told us in His Word to cast all our care upon Him. for he careth for us. And yet you know, and I know, that we have our burdens and we have our cares and we go on and we go on and we carry them and we're burdened down with them. And all the while the Lord is there waiting to carry our burdens for us. And so he said to the disciples, what things? Tell me. Tell me. And the Lord says the same to us. Tell me what's on your heart. Tell me what your burdens are. Tell me what your problems are. Tell me what your needs are. Just tell me. And then those disciples unburdened their heart. You notice something? While the disciples talked, the Lord never said a word. You see, the Lord Jesus is a good listener. And my, whenever someone is burdened and they're troubled, they need to find somebody who's a good listener. And Lord Jesus Christ is the best listener you can find. And the disciples unburdened their hearts to the Lord. They were cast down. They said, now this is the third day. They'd lost hope. See that? They had lost hope. But when they were at their lowest ebb, that for them marked the turning of the tide, because the Lord drew near and went with them and opened the scriptures to them. And those hearts that were cast down and burdened and sad, what did they testify of later? Did not our heart burn within us? The word burn means to bubble over. It's quite a contrast, quite a difference. From being cast down and sad to have their hearts just bubbling over with joy. Only Christ can do that. He just comes at the right time. When all hope seems to have gone, that's when Christ, our hope, appears. Praise his name. You have the Lord's presence. You have the Lord's place. What did Paul say? He said, there stood by me, there's his place. He manifested his presence to Paul. Now Paul tells us the place where the Lord was. He stood by me. The word, or those words, he stood by me, may be rendered to stand alongside. Wasn't so much just standing by him, but came and stood alongside him. My, that's what you want, isn't it, in the times of storm. You need somebody to come and stand alongside you. You need somebody to hold your hand. You need somebody to put their arm around you, to come alongside you. That's what the Lord did that night. He came alongside Paul. That was comforting. It's interesting that before the Lord went to the cross and then returned to his Father, you recall that discourse that he had with his disciples, and he told them that when he would go away, he would send them another comforter or another of the same. The word comforter means to come alongside. Another of the same. In other words, the Lord told his disciples, just as I have come alongside you, when I go away, I will send someone else and he'll come alongside you too. I'll not leave you comfortless. Or the word is, I'll not leave you as an orphan. and not leave you as orphans. There will always be someone standing alongside you. There'll always be someone holding your hand. And that night, in the midst of that storm, Paul says, there stood by me this night the angel of the Lord. There stood alongside me this night. That was comforting. It's comforting, isn't it? Whenever you're in the midst of trouble, or in the midst of sadness, and your heart is aching, and your heart is broken, it's good when someone who you regard as a close friend comes and stands alongside you and put their arm around you. That's comforting. But none can cheer the heart or comfort the heart like Christ. There was Paul, and he was very much alone. It's quite a trial when we're called upon to stand alone. The Lord Jesus himself knew all about what it was to stand alone. You see, that's why he's so sympathetic to those who find themselves alone sometimes. Because the Lord knows. The Lord Jesus knows what it's like to be alone. Isn't that what he said in Isaiah 63 verse 3? I have trodden the winepress alone. And of the people, there was none with me. As though to emphasize his loneliness, his solitude. He said, I have trodden the winepress alone. That would have been good enough for us. But then he goes on to say, and of the people there was none with me. No one to comfort Christ. No one to comfort him in his sufferings. No one to comfort him in his sorrow. No one to comfort him in his solitude. He had to go through it all alone. And in Gethsemane. In Gethsemane, he brought those disciples with him. And he brought Peter, James, and John a little further with him into the garden. And he told them to watch and pray. Do you know something? You read about Christ there going into the garden. And he revealed to his disciples, my soul is exceeding sorrowful even unto death. You know, I was reading that the other day and I was thinking, I believe that's the only time that the Lord Jesus revealed his innermost feelings to anyone else other than his Heavenly Father. He never revealed his innermost feelings to anyone else. The whole of his earthly ministry, except that night that he entered into Gethsemane, and he told those three disciples, my soul is exceeding sorrowful, even unto death. Watch with me. The Lord Jesus is God. He's also man. And being man, he knows what it is to be alone. He knows what it is to be tried. He knows what it is to be burdened. He knows what it is to be sorrowful. He's the man of sorrows. And there he was that night, and he told the disciples, watch and pray. You know what happened. When he came back, they were fast asleep. Can you believe it? The only time the Lord revealed his innermost feelings to his disciples was at the hour, we might use the term, the hour of his greatest need. He needed prayer support. He needed those three disciples the inner circle of disciples to pray with him and to pray for him. And instead of that, they fell asleep. What a careless, uncaring group of disciples they were. The Lord wanted them, "Will you pray with me?" But instead, he had to pray alone. See? Christ knows what it is to be alone. And on that cross, he cried, my God, why hast thou forsaken me?" Or the word forsaken means abandoned. "Why hast thou abandoned me?" His disciples abandoned him. His friends abandoned him. His followers abandoned him. And he's left alone. So he knows what it is to be alone. And so when he sees his children in their hour of loneliness, that's the time he comes and he stands beside us. So that we know then we're not alone anymore. We have Christ beside us. Think of that. We have Christ beside us. He knows when to come. So when the storms of life come upon us, we might pray the words of that hymn, "When the storms of life are raging, stand by me. When the storms of life are raging, stand by me. When the world is tossing me like a ship upon the sea, thou who rulest wind and water, Lord, stand by me." And he will. You can be sure of that. He'll stand by you. That's comforting. Tells us something else. Tells us the Lord is very caring. The fact that the angel of God came and stood by Paul would speak to us of his caring spirit. This is just further proof of how much the Lord cares about his people. When in the midst of the raging tempest, the Lord was found there standing on the deck beside Paul, alongside him. Sure, hasn't he told us that? Why do we doubt him? He has told us, "I will never leave thee nor forsake thee." He's told us that he'll be with us always, even unto the end of the world or unto the end of the age. "I will never leave thee," never. Why would he leave those whom he loves? Why would he leave those whom he loves? Leave them to struggle through the storms of life? Leave them to battle the winds and the storms on their own? Why? No, he wouldn't do that. He's never done it. He never will. Does Jesus care when my heart, when my way is dark, with a nameless dread and fear? As the daylight fades into deep night shades, does he care enough to be near? Does he care enough to be near? Oh yes, he cares. I know he cares. His heart is touched with my grief. When the days are weary and the long nights dreary, I know I know that Jesus cares. He showed Paul how much he cared. Manifested his presence. Took his place beside Paul. And then you have also the Lord's possession. The Lord's presence and the Lord's place and the Lord's possession. We look again at the words of Paul when the angel of God appeared unto him and stood by him. He says, "Whose I am and whom I serve." Here Paul speaks about being the possession of the angel of God, or being the possession of the Lord. I belong to the Lord, he's saying. He speaks about being the Lord's possession, whose I am. Exodus 19 verse 5, the Lord calls his people his peculiar treasure. We're the Lord's peculiar treasure. Doesn't that show us just why the Lord is so protective of his people? Why? Because he loves them. Because they belong to him. They are his possession. And Paul said, "There stood by me this night the angel of the Lord, the angel of God, whose I am." He's not going to let any harm come to me because I belong to him. I'm his peculiar treasure. I'm precious in his sight. Isn't that a wonderful truth? We're precious in the sight of the Lord. Precious. Oh, the world couldn't care less about us. The world have no thought for us. The world would mock us and laugh at us. But the Lord cares for us. The Lord loves us. Why? Because he purchased us with his own blood. And you think about it, that it took the blood of God's Son. It took the blood of the Son of God to wash away our sins, to deal with our transgressions, to remove our iniquities. It took the blood of Christ, the Son of God, not the blood of beasts and Jewish altars slain, could give the guilty conscience peace or take away the stain. No. A sacrifice of greater name and richer blood than they. Solomon offered to the Lord on occasions 1,000 bullocks. You think of the blood that flowed from 1,000 bullocks. And all the blood of 1,000 bullocks was not powerful enough to remove one sin or one stain. But the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanseth us from all sin. From all sin. And that's the blood that was shed to save Paul, who said he was the chief of sinners. Paul says, "I belong to Christ." And believer, we belong to the Lord. We're his possession. Nothing will happen to us until it's time for us to go to higher service. It's as simple as that. A man's life is immortal until his work on earth is done. You have also Paul and the assurance of the Lord. After his appearance, we read in verse 22, "And now I exhort you to be of good cheer, for there shall be no loss of any man's life among you but of the ship. For there stood by me this night the angel of God, whose I am and whom I serve, saying, fear not, Paul." You notice something else. You notice what the angel of God said. He said, "Fear not." Paul. In other words, he knew the apostle by name. Paul wasn't just a number to the Lord. You and I are not just numbers to the Lord. He knows us by name. He's able to call all of the sheep by name. That tells us just how personally he knows us. Fear not, Paul. Makes such a difference. When someone addresses us by name, the Lord addressed Paul by name. There you have his correspondence. Here was a word from heaven to the Apostle Paul regarding his safety and all on board with him. He got a word from the Lord. How often have you and I got a word from the Lord in the midst of a storm? The Lord has given us a most appropriate word. And we have looked at that word and we have cherished that word ever since. And we look back upon that word. We maybe have it marked in our Bibles and a little note beside it. The Lord gave me this word, this promise, when I was going through a hard time. And you know, whenever we are going through a hard time, let us not have the word of God too far from us. We need the word of the Lord beside us. Romans 15 verse 4. For whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we listen through patience and comfort of the Scriptures. Comfort of the Scriptures might have hope. Might have hope. Comfort of the Scriptures. That's why we should keep the Word of God near us. And how often has the inspired Word of God given us hope? Tell you, you need it whenever you're in the Lord's work. When things aren't going too well and you haven't had a very good Lord's Day services, you're discouraged and you're despondent. You read the Bible. Maybe it's been your reading for the day. There's been a word in that reading. And it has given you hope. Surely we've all been there. We've all got a word like that from the Lord that has given us hope. This word came to Paul. It was a word from the Lord. And how often have we received a word from the Lord when it has lifted us up when we were down, encouraged us when we've been in despair? A word from the Lord that has come to us light and darkness. A word that has strengthened us in our weakness. Healed our sin-sick soul. And quietened our minds in our time of turmoil. We've got a word from the Lord. Paul got a word from the Lord. It's great. It's great when you get a word from the Lord. You have the correspondence and you have the charge. Paul said to those who were on the ship, verse 22, and now I exhort you to be of good cheer. I exhort you. The same word is found elsewhere. Verse 22 and verse 25. Wherefore, sirs, be of good cheer, for I believe God that it shall be even as it was told me. So he's told to be of good cheer, or told them to be of good cheer twice. But look down at verse 9. Now when much time was spent, and when sailing was now dangerous, because the fast was now already past, Paul admonished them. It's the same word. admonished is the same word as exhort. And Paul admonished them strongly and told them not to set sail. He admonished them, and he uses the same word to say unto those in the ship with him, I exhort you or I admonish you to be of good cheer. What does this teach us? Well, Paul had already said to them, you're not going to lose your life. You're going to be spared. Now, surely that would have been enough to cheer their hearts. But obviously it wasn't. Paul had to exhort them to be of good cheer. And isn't it a strange thing that at times we need to be exhorted to be of good cheer? We ought to think of all that we have in Christ. Here the Lord told Paul, you're not going to perish. None in the ship are going to perish with you. I'll keep you safe. I give unto my sheep eternal life, and they shall never perish. Neither shall any man, devil, demon, or storm pluck you out of my hand. See, there's victory in Christ. That's victory. There's victory in the cross work. There's victory in the blood. There's victory in our wonderful Redeemer. There's victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. He sought me and bought me with His redeeming blood. He loved me ere I knew Him, and all my love is due Him. He plunged me in victory beneath the cleansing blood. You have His confidence, and with this I'll close. His confidence. What did Paul say? He said in verse 25, wherefore, sirs, be of good cheer, for I believe God. That's what Abraham said. I believe God. God had promised him a son, and when Abraham was 100 years old, Abraham still believed God. He believed God would give him a son in his old age, and he did. And the Lord said that nobody is going to perish on this vessel. And Paul said, I believe God, and nobody perished. We need to have the same confidence in the Lord. Paul said, be of good cheer. See, when you believe God, you can be of good cheer. When you don't believe God, then you tend to worry. You tend to get anxious. You wonder how things are going to turn out. But if you believe God, if you have confidence in the Lord, then you'll not worry. Because what can worry do? And not change anything. The Lord's the one who's in control. He's the one who changes things. Let us believe God. Let us pray, O Lord, give me more trust in Thee. More faith, more belief, more confidence. More confidence. That's what we need. Paul believed God. And that one standing somewhere in the shadows gave Paul a good word. You notice in the rest of the chapter the ability of the Lord. God was able to deliver all on board. Over 200 passengers. He was able. Our God is able. Paul had confidence in God. Believer, let us have confidence in God. There's nothing He cannot do. And He'll always be there, standing somewhere in the shadows. Let's bow our heads in prayer. O loving Father and eternal God, we bless Thee for the one who always stands beside us. We know, Lord, that we hardly ever think of His ever abiding presence when things are going well. It's only when the storms come and the night descends and our troubles increase and our problems get larger that we wonder where the Lord is. But Lord, we know that Thou will never leave us nor forsake us. Thou will never abandon us. We know, Lord, that Thou will be standing right beside us. Lord, write Thy word upon our hearts. And may Thy word be our mainstay in times of trial and tribulation. We thank Thee for all who have gathered tonight. Bless each one of us, Lord, as we part the one from the other and take us to our homes in safety. Now may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be our abiding portion now and until the day breaks and the shadows all flee away. Amen.